This service, we'll be looking at the characters of, as also more than 20 thereabout, of influential people. And please, calm down on that phrase, influential. I'm not talking about big men. Amen. That's not what I mean by influential. I'm talking about being able to further the cause of Christ in the lives of men. Is that okay enough?
Yes,
having the ability to further the cause of Christ in what? In the lives of men. Having influence with men. It's so important. You see, if we don't have influence with men, how do we fulfill the Great Commission? How do you disciple the nations? You know, we're called to disciple the nations. Not to save them. That's the first entrance to discipleship. Is to train them. How do you train people who you can't force to listen to you? Amen. I don't know if anybody has power to force any other person. You can't force them to listen to you. For example, I've said that you should come first service. Do you know that you have the right not to come? Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you know if you don't come for any of it throughout this month? Even if I say it's an instruction. Okay, yeah, Zach, you have said it's an instruction. Okay, do your worst. What can I do? I can't go to police station. If I go to police station, they'll say, what's the case? I'll say, I told him to come for second service. He did not come. They'll say, I should get out. You understand? The truth is, there's nothing I can do. I'm just behaving as if I can do something. Absolutely, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. You can even say, yes, you said I should come. Yes, that's your own opinion. I choose not to come. You can say that to my face and there will be no consequence. If I slap you, you will slap your own back. Are you together with me? And then the pastoral anointing does not give, it's not like Samson anointing. Not that I can beat you. That I'm a pastor does not mean I can. If we fight, there are a lot of you here who can beat me. If we say, okay, let's turn it to rough. So there's nothing I can do. So how do you disciple people when they have the right is to know about influence? A lot of believers don't know how to wield influence. And so Jesus only works in their life. They can't transfer it to other people. Are we together here? And so we'll look at about 20 to 25 attributes of influential people. You see? And you don't need to have money to be influential. You don't need to be a pastor to be influential. Every child of God must know how to wield. The Bible says, let your light so shine. And is that men shall see your good works and they shall give glory to the Father. So every child of God must be able to know how to let his light shine.
Yes,
are we here?
Yes, sir.
And so we'll take it gently. We'll take it calmly. And the point of this is that I'm trusting that your level of effectiveness will increase. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Luke chapter 10. Let me show you something in Luke chapter 10. When we start from verse 19, it says, behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Jesus has given you authority. Right?
Yes, sir.
He has given you power. I've given you power. Use the old KJV. But I give you power. Amen.
Amen.
To tread on serpents and scorpions. I don't know if there's anybody sitting beside a serpent or a scorpion. Is there any serpent or scorpion beside you?
No.
No. Right? And did you notice that he didn't give you power over human beings?
Yes.
To tread upon human beings.
Yeah.
Only serpents and scorpions. But now he still wants you to lead human beings. And he didn't give you power to tread on them. You see, with serpents and scorpions, you can say, get out, do this in Jesus' name. Listen, it's easier to deal with Satan than to deal with men.
Yeah.
Are you together with me?
Yes.
Because you can command Satan. You can't command men. I just want you to understand that. You need to know how to deal with men. How to get men to do what God will have them do. It's important. Or else Jesus will not have reach to men. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Let me show you another scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start from verse 3. Let's start from verse 1. Quickly. All right. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. What's oversight? Leadership, right? You take in the leadership. Take it. But after you have taken it, how do you express it? Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. See, neither as being lords. Very strange. You've asked us to take leadership, and at the same time you said, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
When the chief shepherd, I'll still come back here. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That fadeth what?
Not away.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject to one to another. The word ye all of you is not elder and a member. Don't mix it. It's talking about believers. Are we together?
Yes.
Ye all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. We're going to dissect this scripture so that we can pick out the wisdom and the truth that is in it, so that we can use it. Now, don't forget, the purpose of teaching this is so that your level of influence. I see many people who can't wield influence. I see many people who can get people to follow Jesus. And we are almost useless on earth if we're unable to do that. I see many husbands who can't wield influence, for example. Many wives who can't wield influence over. You know, even your children, you need to know how to wield the influence. I see many workers, many leaders at work, many subordinates at work who can't wield influence. And you see, and when you don't wield influence, you fall into two categories. It's either you become a lord, and which God doesn't want us to be, right?
Yes.
Or you become what they call the simple, where around you everything goes. You understand? If Satan wants things to fly, he makes you the head. You see, because with you, there is no sieve. Yes. So we get into those two extremes. Either you are an extreme of being a lord or the extreme of being a fool. Are you together with me? Now, these two things do not represent Christ. So what's the powerful middle ground? Where can I be that I will be able to wield influence? You need to be able, Jerry, are you with me? You need to be able to wield influence. Have you seen people who are always fighting with police? Fighting with police. Police is always arresting them. The Bible says that you should settle your issue with your enemy so that it does not take you to court. I can't remember how. You should be able to wield influence. Some people, if police stop them, they sell straight every time. Because they don't know how to wield the influence of Christ inside them. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are we together here? Are we preaching here? So we're going to come back to this scripture. It's very juicy. We'll come back there and then we'll say some other things. But let's look at one more scripture. You know, Matthew chapter 20. We'll check 21. Are you being blessed already? It's the same thing. I'm just trying to give us Wallace Apple. That's not a scripture. Okay. That's not the scripture. It doesn't even look like it at all. And that was what I wrote with confidence. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm looking for the scripture where Jesus was saying that we shouldn't lord it over the people like he didn't do when he was talking about leadership. I don't know how I missed it. If you find it, let me know. 25, I think it's 2025. All right. Now let's start from 2020. I think I'm correct. Jesus called them. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him. Are you together with me? Can you see? Worshiping him. That's calm. They're about to release a proposal. So they just worshiped him. And desiring a certain thing of him. Today is not for that. You know, these are the kind of scriptures I like. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him. You get the point now. Jesus knew the point for the worship.
Yeah.
So he said, just go ahead. And I said, what prayer cannot do, praise can do. Okay, praise will do. Just, okay, go ahead. What's it? Said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now, don't forget that this kingdom is meant to be an eternal kingdom, a forever kingdom. There have been a prophecy about this kingdom that the children of Israel know that, you know, God is establishing a kingdom and all of that. And they believe Jesus has come as the Messiah. Now, out of all the people in the old world, Jesus picked only 12. Out of those 12 people, you have two slots. In the old world, only your family has two slots. And even outside that, with those two slots, you still want to be on the right or on the left. The serious man. All right, let's read. And he said, but Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? They said, unto him, we're able. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Ah! They were angry with the 10 brethren. They said, what nonsense is this? Ah! I hope you think people learn you anisha. Ah! Right. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant. You see again that we are not called to have to exercise dominion over God's people. So how shall we then be leaders if we are unable to do that? How shall we bring influence and change and cause people to, because God has also given us the responsibility to bring people into their identity in Christ, to help people fulfill their destiny. And we can, you know, sometimes it's easy if you can just force people. Let's get it done. And it's faster. But God says, not like that. So the question is, how, Lord? How, Lord? How, Lord? Now, when you look at these things, God has taught. Now, I'm talking to those who would provide leadership. You see, but at the same time, God spoke to those who are receiving leadership. Are we together here?
Yes,
who are receiving oversight. So God told those who are giving it, don't force. Are you with me?
Yes,
and God told those who are receiving it, let's check Hebrews 13, 17. I just want to lay the foundation. Obey them that have the rule over you So you see, the responsibility of those who are being led is that they are now told to obey. Are you together with me? And submit yourselves. So don't get the people, don't force the people to submit. I will tell the people to submit themselves. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
For the watch for your souls. As they that must give account. So it means that God is going to ask me about some souls, right?
Yeah.
Going to say, how's this person doing? I'm like, eh. That they may do it with joy. And God's husband, you say, man, Lua, why did you bring this kind of person to me? I'm so fat. He says, submit yourself so that when they are giving account, they may do it with joy and not with grief. Unfortunately, a lot of people cause their leaders to provide leadership in grief. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Can you see that? Now, in the world, the leaders don't have grief. They deal with you. If you don't submit, you will have grief. The leader doesn't have grief. They get the response to your lack of submission is you will have grief. There are instruments that can provide grief. Are you together with me? You know, our parents don't know these scriptures. Our parents know how to inflict grief on you. Oh, my toba so kwey yawo ni so. Ah, oh no, ni fojukuru. So you see that in the world it's different. If you do not respond, we know how to transfer grief. And they trained us from childhood. They are different. Even if, you know, sometimes flogging yourself is stress for them. So say, how can I do this guy without flogging this person? There are some punishments that after they have released you from the punishment, your body will still be shaking. Yeah. Your body is still shaking. Sometimes after they give you some punishment, even when the pain has gone, you will just be thinking that, am I that demonic that they would... Sometimes you'll be crying because you are wondering, are these people really my parents? How? You are just... The memory of, how can they take me through this? Strange things African parents can do to you. Different kind of pains, different stuff. Sometimes they will allow you to go and sleep. They allow you eat and go and sleep. Yeah, it's a Lord John, Lord John, Lord John. You just notice the pour water on your body. That's, I don't know the kind of parents you have. The one I had. Or I have. Time to pour water on your body. The first start with your eyes, the prickle it on your eyes so that you are waking up disoriented. Whether you are having a demonic experience or it's real, you are unsure. Yeah. She pours water on your eye. You wake up not knowing where you are then. Pa, 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 pa. Different punishments. You stood down, different kind of stuff. You begin the punishment and you'll be shaking. You'll be shaking. And they will sit down there supervising you. Tese bakonle. Tese bakonle. Now, they don't know this scripture. If you're not going to submit, you will experience grief. But in kingdom leadership, when you don't submit, your leader experiences grief. Now, your destiny will experience grief. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your destiny, your future would experience grief when you are not submitted. But the leader experiences grief because your destiny experiencing grief is even grief to the leader. It's not validation that your leader was correct. Any leader that needs you to go through sorrow for him to be valid has a devilish heart. Are we together here? So like I said, I don't want to say too many things. I've just done an introduction to them. You know, after I finished preparing this message, I asked the Lord. I said, Father, what... I said, Jesus, how come you had influence amongst the apostles? I asked him. And he answered me. He answered me almost immediately. I just said, Jesus, how you had a lot of influence among the apostles. Those guys were, some of them were already married. Some of them had good jobs and all of that. And they just followed you like that. How come? And the first answer he gave me is that I was the one who called them. Let me explain to you. From fisherman to now become somebody who is eternally, forever, part of the 12 foundation of the New Jerusalem. Forever. It's not from fisherman to a better fisherman. It's not from fisherman to banker. It's from fisherman to be in a class of men that you would only the 12 of you will ever be like that. There is nobody that will ever be in the class of the 12 apostles. Listen, they know that it was Jesus who called them. And he called them to something they could never have imagined that they could ever be. If you ask Peter, what can you be? He will say, I'll be a successful fisherman. He can say, maybe I'll be a tax collector one day. He can tell you many things, but Peter would never tell you he can be an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, an apostle of the Lamb. God called them to himself. And God said, the first reason why I had influence was that I called them to, I was the first one who picked what they could become before they even picked it themselves. You see, one of the ways you have influence is to find out, as you walk with God, know people's divine destiny and call them by it before anybody else does. People will never forget who called them to their divine destiny. Never. And it's one of the points upon which Jesus brags. He said, you did not choose me, I chose you. You must learn to see people beyond their occupation, beyond their weaknesses, beyond their fears, and call them what they would not even have the guts to have called themselves. When you bring that level of value and call for that kind of value in people's life, you are a kind of source. You represent their beginning of greatness. Are you together with me? You see, one of the easiest things to do is to call people by their failures. So easy and so common. And that's what everybody does. But when you call people by the name and by the destiny that God has given them, they never forget you. And that was what Jesus Christ did. He looked at Peter that day and said, yes, you're a fisherman, but don't worry, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. It was Jesus who first told him that. He never thought about it. Peter 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 never imagined it. He never crossed his imagination. But Jesus called him what God calls him. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
Friends, go past calling people what everybody called them. Call them what God has called them. When you call people what God has called them, when they remember God, they remember you. Friends, I can never forget those who called me. I was called. Somebody called me. Even before the Lord called me, men were already calling me. I tell you the truth. Even before I heard God calling me, men already called me. They told me things about myself I never imagined. They told me things. You see, there are things I'm seeing now that I have been told. I've been told 15 years ago. Somebody told me. There's a man then, Shagu Martins, who would tell me things about myself. And I'm wondering, why is this man saying these things? And he would have meetings with me. Sometimes I would travel 5 hours for a 30-minute session. And he will tell me things. And he will say, I need to be. There was a word he said that troubled me. Every counselor said, you need to be focused. I'm like, man, I'm focused. I started finding, what's the meaning of focus?
I said, brother, you need to be focused. You need to be focused.
I said, Pastor Matthew, I'm focused. There was a day he was trying to explain focus to me. I'm like, is this not focus? Normal focus? What's this? Focus that serious? He said, you need to be focused. He said, you need to be focused. And he doesn't use new words to explain it. It's the same words, playing with the same word, but always hammering focus. He says, focus, be focused, be focused. How old was I? I was just 16, 17, where he was troubling me with that word. And he said, you need focus because you are going far. He said, anyone who's going far must be focused. That's how I talk. He said, must be focused. When you are going far, you must be focused. One day I asked him, you're not troubling all my other friends. He said, only me. He said, because you are going farther than them. You are going farther than them. Yeah, he told me. He said, you are going far. I've seen it. I know it. Listen, one day he hosted a meeting, gathered us together. We prayed. And after the meeting, he told us to write our names. Yeah. He told us to write our names and they should go and hide that list somewhere. He said, all the people that came for this prayer meeting, they will not be ordinary in life. He called me. I was just a small boy when he called me. Those were people who called me. I can't say some of the things. I remember I was having a meeting with Pike Olawale and he began to tell me things. He began to tell me things I don't have the guts to say over the microphone now about my life. Things I never imagined. There was a particular day he was going to talk to me about my life. And then why can't we just talk in your house? Why can't we just talk? And then we drove from his house and drove to the redemption camp. Not to go and pray. To go and stand in redemption camp and talk. He said, we need to talk. And we got to his house and said, enter the car, boom. And drove down to redemption camp. We stood somewhere in redemption camp under the sun. And we spoke for like an hour and entered the car and came back. I said, I was called. You must call people. You see, don't call people based on just what they do. Don't call people just based on the obvious things. Praise God. The obvious things. I say she's just a woman. I won't be mean. She's just a woman. She's some of you have stereotypes. Are you together with me? You just say, this is who this person can be. No. You don't know anything about anybody except revealed to you. I'm preaching here. What's wrong? You don't know anything about anybody except who reveals it to you. Except God reveals it to you. Can I have the other man? You don't know anything about anybody except God. Except God reveals it to you, you know nothing about anybody. And so you have to set your spirit to find out who people are. But you know, the funny thing is that there is an information that is stored in you about people that is false. We all have idea of who people are. Sometimes you have met useless people that look a certain way. And your brain has stored uselessness in that frame. And anytime anybody comes with that frame, maybe you have experienced 3 bald boys who are useless. And so anytime you see any boy who is bald, you say, useless generation. They say, you're part of the useless generation. Why? Because you have stored. Are you together with me? Do you know there are some perfumes that offend you? Because the perfume takes you to a point, to a period of your life that you don't want to remember. And if anybody wears that perfume, even if the person wears a jersey and puts Savior behind the back, you say, this is not, this is from Satan. Because it triggers a type of memory. So unconsciously, see friends, we have things stored somewhere. Unconsciously, you have things stored somewhere. And then we use those storage to define people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we here, friends?
Yes,
but the Bible teaches us that know we no man after the flesh. No, we know man what?
After
the flesh.
You know, some people can never, for example, submit to a woman. They don't know. They don't know, but it is taught somewhere. It is taught somewhere. It could be because of how their father, you know, related with their wife, with their mother. And so unconsciously, they don't have value for women. Yeah, there are people like that who don't respect women. They say, "Obirini jare, obirini, obirini." And somehow they feel when they put a woman above them, they are just jitteries. Ah, am I useless like that? Okay, obirini. Yeah, have you seen how people, some people talk about women? Yeah. I say obirini, obirini. I say oro obirini. Ah, is woman, is woman, is woman. Do you take women word seriously? There are people like that. Are you together with me? But you must learn to call people by what God has called them. And what do you pray for? You pray for God to open your heart. The purity of heart helps you see people. Are you together with me? Am I here? Are we here? And listen, let me say this to you. Somebody who has caused you pain, are you together with me, can be your greatest help. He has to come. And so don't call them necessarily on the base of the pain they've caused you. Huh? One of the people that eventually became relevant and useful in the life of Paul was John Mark. But the beginning of that relationship was not such a fantastic one. But eventually, Paul was able to say, "John is with me." He was able to say, "Get me John Mark, for because he's profitable to me for the work of the ministry." Are we together, friends? Call people. Call people. Listen, we are all at the mercy of what somebody called us. All of us. All of us are at the mercy. So call people. Sometimes God will bring a pauper your way, but he has the destiny of a billionaire. And your work, your role is to call for that billionaire. Are you together with me? Begin to have plans with that billionaire and say, "You know, we're going to sponsor the work together. You are going to be one of the chief sponsors of the work." And the guy is wondering me. He said, "Yeah, you." Friends, our Lord Jesus Christ committed the work of global evangelism, the work of the kingdom. He committed it in the hands of 12 people. The work. This work. He committed it in the hands of 12 people. That even after he died and was meant to go and rest, he still needed to stay another about 50 days. Because the guys were not ready at all. You don't get my point. Jesus left the work to 12 people. The first day of job, they went fishing. The first day of work, Jesus had resurrected. Jesus had done everything. It's time to save the whole world. These guys went fishing. You don't understand. The work was in a... complete and broken down. He went fishing. Are you with me, friends? Yes, they went fishing. Peter said, "I go fishing." Andrea said, "We follow you. We follow you." The most important thing was meant to start happening. But Jesus still retained that these ones are the ones that would do the work. Yeah. Friends, they did it too. Friends, they did it without social media, without sponsored ad. Without flyer. Friends, they reached the old ghetto. See, if Jesus can commit the work to those kind of people, then there is nobody you should give up on. You must call people by what God has called them. Are you together with me? Jesus left the work in those men's hands. One of them said that they told the man Jesus left as part of his 12. They said Jesus has resurrected. He said, "It's not true. You people cannot scam me the second time." He says, even when I see him physically, you people could have gone and cloned him. Is that not Buhari that they said they've cloned? You people can clone him. I have to put my hand inside and find out he's the one. He will not be angry, but I will check. He can't deceive me again. These are the people Jesus left the work with. Are you together with me? So there will be people who will come around your life and they will look like useless, irrelevant. You see, stop putting eye on people who are ready-made. Because people who are ready-made, you are not the one that called them. it was somebody else who called them. So they have no reason to, they have no reason to submit to you or to say you are something. But when you call somebody that nobody called, are you together with me? See, that's why I'm blessed with Pastor Obi. I called people that nobody, everybody abandoned them. I was the one who called them. I called them. I said, you are okay. I said, you shall be great. You will prosper. And we will, I said, I sang for them. They said, yes, I believe. Yeah. You have to call people when nobody will call them. When nobody wants them. Listen, want people nobody wants. Want them. People nobody wants. People say, want them. You see, gold that is your own is gold that nobody can see. Yeah. That's when you can, that's the only time you can take gold without paying for it is when everybody thinks it's stone. Yeah. Immediately the gold has been refined, you cannot collect again. No? Yeah. The gold people will not drag you, will not just carry stone. They say it's stone, they say take it. Are you together with me? So what has been refined is costly, but the one that has not been refined is free. Yeah. Are you together with me? So go get it. There's a lot of gold. Listen, everybody God created is gold. Yes. Some have been refined, some haven't. Yes. And if you are going to be a true leader, God will give you the unrefined ones. Yes. Don't be foolish to say you discard it, say it's not gold, it's gold. If it is God's creation, it's gold. So call people. A lot of you have people who if you call, they will be grateful. You are not calling them. You are concerned about those who you wish can associate with you because they are clean. Go and look for. They are around you. People who, if you told them to come to your house and come and eat, they will feel like, I want to come and eat to your house. Those are the ones God sent you to. You don't know. You are looking for useless connection up and down. Those are the ones God sent you to. Those you say, come and eat. That won't tell you I have something to do. I have something to do. That's the parable Jesus gave us. Parable of the kingdom. He says the one who already have farm, already have this, they have excuse. But there are some who are poor, who are on the road. If they will come like that, you have to even give them clothes. You will invite them to your party, you have to give them clothes. Hey, but those ones, your influence over their lives will be forever. So don't discard that small boy on that street, oh. When you go home again, don't discard those small boys. Listen, you can have house fellowship, easy one. Yes. You are looking for banker, creative people to invite for you. What's wrong with you? Look at those teenagers. Tell them, first Sunday of the month, jollof rice gathering. Those stars are the ones that will change the world. Jollof rice every third Sunday. They will invite themselves. Don't invite themselves. I say, Lord, give me people. Which people God give you? See them. Call people who nobody is calling. I say, why don't? They will come. They'll say, before we eat, we'll do a pre-prayer. They will hurry up for this. After a while, things will be changing. Things will be changing. Then the Spirit of God will give you a dream for one. Another one will get you with the Holy Ghost the next day. Then one day he will come and meet you and say, I want to do this. Can I do it? He's already submitting his life to you because he has seen the influence. What the people nobody wants. That's leadership. That's influence. Jesus Christ said, I called them. That's why they are loyal to me. I called them. The Pharisees did not call them. The Pharisees does not call those kind of people. Pharisees look for big men. Praise God. Pharisees look for big men. Me, I don't look for big men. Oh. I don't look for big men. Oh. Me, I look for men who look like they are nothing. I look for men who look like they are nothing because I know they are God's big men. And when I call them, when they become big men, they say it's Pastor Zach that called me. The Bazaar called me. And now I've become what he called me to be. Now I've become it. The Bazaar, take, I just bought you this private jet. I said, no, I don't really want it. The Bazaar, take, but if you insist, I'll call it. It's not like I really want it. Call people that nobody called. That even some people, their parents do not even call them. Even their parents do not call them. You call them. Are we together with me? You know the second thing he told me? Can I tell you? He said, I visited them. Guess what? All the people that Jesus called, 90% of them, he went to meet them where they were. The tax collectors, he went to their office. Fisherman, Peter, he went to the boat. Are you together with me? When Peter's mother was sick, he visited them. Pastor, that visit, is it a supernatural kind of visit? No. Visit, go, enter bus. Enter bus, go and visit. You visit. That's how to have influence. You visit. Hey, when you visit somebody who nobody visits, he will never forget you. When you visit somebody who nobody visits, because you see, to be visited means that you are great. People only visit great people. And it is the lesser that visits the greater. That's the word. Now, when you now go visit them, you have told them that they are great. Is that not what God does to us? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Son of man, that thou what? Thou visitest him. What God does was that he visits us. That is the only reason why we know we are worth something. Every day he visits us. Every morning he visits us. His visitation is what reminds us that we are his children. If God don't visit us, we won't know we are anything. Hey, my boldness, I have it because God visits me. God visits me. Sometimes the angels come and visit me. Dreams, I have encounters in dreams. Those visitations remind me that I'm great. I now begin to walk arrogantly like an apostle. I sew clothes that are big. I wear agbada sometimes. I walk, there's a way I walk, arrogant. It's not only you that know I'm arrogant too. I know myself. But if the person that visits me visits you, it will be difficult not to be arrogant. His visits gives me confidence. Are you together with me? That's why I don't care who is not visiting me. Because the greatest of all has visited me. Are you together with me? So one of the ways you will heal those people is to visit them. Because when they say, this man, they visit me, now my guy. You visit them. Just like I said, I visited them. I go and visit them. I go and check them out. Are you together with me? You know the last thing he did? He said to me, he said, I sent them. Nobody forget who sent them. I sent them. Listen, it takes confidence in somebody to send the person. Because the person can botch everything, can botch the plan, can destroy everything. You must have confidence in people enough to send them. Let people do something that you know they could fail at it. If you are not willing to take a risk on anyone, then the person does not owe you submission. Take a risk. Because eventually all of us were a risk. Eventually, Jesus is taking a risk on all of us. You know, one day Jesus told me that too. One, I can't forget. 7 years ago, I was walking on my road. When you are going to the house, it's a valley. When you are coming from the house, it's a mountain. So I was coming from the mountain dimension of my house. And I was coming and the Spirit of God hit me. Boom! The anointing rested upon me. And I heard the voice of God clear. So he says, Zach, my blessing is upon you already. He said, I can't take it away. Whatever you become with this blessing is now your choice. All he was telling me is, it's a risk. He said, I've risked anointing you. God said, I've risked it. All of us here, God has risked it. It's a risk. Even when Jesus came, it's a risk. The coming of Jesus Christ is a risk. Adam was a risk. That didn't work out. The man messed everything up. They sent another risk. If Jesus had risked everything, we don't know if there's any plan. But love takes risk. Love takes risk. Is a risk. Marriage is a risk. Do you know? Marriage. The biggest risk ever. The biggest risk ever. Marriage. You just marry someone. You don't know how he will turn out to be. And friends, some have turned out to be monkeys, some chimpanzees, some orangutan. It's a risk. And you are forever associated with that person. You say, that's a monkey over there. It's your monkey. It's your monkey. Join one with that monkey. It's a risk. Marriage is a risk. You can't say, it's just my husband. It's my husband, but I'm a different person. No, If he's a fool, he's a foolish family. I heard Bishop speaking one time. He said, if you call your wife a fool, she's Mrs. Fool. You are the mister. It's one family. If you say, you stupid wife, he said, it's Mrs. Stupid. You are the mister. Because she bears your name. So it's a risk. Send people, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Why do the choir guys have new worship leaders? They take risk.
Yes.
It was a risk. I took a risk on all of them. It's a risk. All of them. Risk. Some of the services, they actually messed it up. Yeah. Some, they messed it up. But if we didn't take that risk, we won't have this glory. It's a risk. And they'll be risking it small, small. They have risk. They are risking Rhoda now. Say so they try. They risk. They risk Annie. Sometimes Annie will sing with her nose. Other time with her eyes. Yeah, they are risking it. Then suddenly she's betting new songs. She's doing so. I say, wow, this guy has it too. Yeah, Rhoda will come and say, "Oh, the Lord is good and worship Him." Sometimes it will work. Other time will not work. It's a risk. But that's influence. Take risk on people. They will remember who took a risk on me. It's a risk. One of the finest preachers I love listening to is Pastor Obi. But that was not the first. That was not, it was the first time. Before, when he's preaching, sometimes you want to sleep. Say, when will the message start? When will this man's message start? But he's one of the finest preachers I know. Finest. This one is not finest. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You must take risk. Don't be afraid to take risk. So you send some people message, you are not sure whether you get what you send them or even your money will come back. It's a risk. Our parents took the risk. They used to send me messages, I go and buy fish, I'll cut everything into, besides you buy 40 naira meat, I'll buy 25. I'll buy this. I shall have 30% of the money is in my pocket. That was a consistent thing. And some children, it's a risk because they might end up the whole day. You send them 7 a.m. They will come back 7 p.m. Where's Niyi? That's how Niyi was. This Niyi, this one. This one that I'm enjoying now. This one that I'm enjoying. This is the one that did dreadlock. I know what I'm talking about. This one, that's the person I'm disgracing right now. Risk. But now he's turned out to be a very sharp, smart, responsible boy. Responsible man. Risk. Take risk. Don't. If you don't take risk on anybody, then you have no influence over anybody. Take risk. Some of the return is years later. And let me announce, some of the risk, the return is on another person. The return is, you see, some people, some businesses you do, you don't get profit from them. You get blessing from them. I mean, naturally, if you do a business, not all business will give you profit. Some business, you will learn how to not to do business. So there are some people you will take risk on them, the risk will not return. It's God that will tell you thank you. And sometimes you will sorrow, you will grieve. It's part of it. There are people who have taken risk and no return. No return. It's a waste of time and resources. But there's heavenly return. Are you together with me? So you must learn to take risk. Let me share you the last one for today. This is the most powerful one that I will share today. The last one is that to have influence, you must learn to forgive. This one is very powerful. That is why we are indebted to God forever. You understand? That's what, you see, the reason why you owe God till forever is that I forgive you.
Yes.
Wow. It's what I forgive you. If you say, God, get out, he will ask you, okay, your sin now, what are we going to do? He forgive you. That's, friends, that's why we owe God forever. And forgiveness is the most perfect description of divine nature. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Nothing describes God more than forgiveness. Forgiveness is not human at all. Forgiveness is not a human thing. There is no human reason to forgive. Listen, even the law of Moses did not really teach forgiveness, which is the law of God, which is above human law. It's still law of God, above human law. He says, an eye for an eye. There is a part of God that understands, do me, I do you. Yeah. Singers say it because they have an assumption it's accurate. They do me, I do you. God, no go verse. They have an assumption that is righteous. The one that is bad is don't be the first to do. Don't be the what? The first to do. But if they do you. If they do you, you don't do your own bad. People will say, oh, deni any. Yeah. Ah. Oh, deni any. Oh, ah. We take a lot of righteous position when we react. So is the one. When someone says you are stupid, you say you are stupid. When you want to report the case, say, ask him who said I'm stupid first. And when they find out he's the one, I don't know, I said it first now. So, forgiveness is not human. That's why we, oh God, forgive us. We offended God. God, forgive us. God says, you don't have to pay. And God found out that this particular sin must be paid for. He said, but you don't pay it. I will pay for it. Then forever we now owe him. Peter says, we do know. Is it Peter? I can't remember. He says, we can no longer live for ourselves again. Because we were dead. Somebody now brought us back to life. We can no longer say, I'm going somewhere. Are you together with me? If you were dead, somebody rose you from there. And I want to imagine even physically, you were dead. You now see people gather there. Please, my Ankara. You know, you cannot say that. You will first sit down first and think. See, are you sure you will die? Say, you died. For the past 12 hours. This is your death certificate. Is this man of God who pray for you? You don't wake up from dead and say, "Hey, what's today's date? I've missed Falake's wedding. Let's go." You don't do that. In the same way you were dead, God forgive you. That's why we owe him forever. That's why we are not in a hurry. Because we wouldn't have a plan if he didn't forgive us. Forgiven. Are you me, friends?
Yes, sir.
Friends, the highest way you can show God to mankind is to forgive men. Whenever you forgive, you have released Jesus. And then you now begin to that Jesus you released will be traced to you. Is the highest godly behavior you can ever behave. Forgiveness. He's spiritual. To forgive. What's the meaning of irreconcilable difference? It's lack of forgiveness. That's the difference you cannot reconcile. It's that, I got to share for me. Pastor, irreconcilable difference. I got to share for me. Oh, that is Jenny. Pastor, irreconcilable. The pastor got to. But if you can flow in forgiveness, the glory of God takes over. You have released God. So we have to learn to forgive people. You have to be godly. When you forgive people, you have shown them who God is. Say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Now, when I say forgive somebody, I'm not saying that both the two people are arguing. You people are not sure who is right, who is wrong. That's why I'm forgiving you. Say, get out of this, your forgiveness. I don't know. I'm talking about when when you were genuinely, obviously hot. Where even the person does not even, you are hot. Then you say, I forgive you. You have introduced God into the scene. Are you together with me? Why do we forgive? Because it's a debt you owe. It's not a favor you have done to anybody. You owe humanity forgiveness. Because when you look at the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Are we together, friends? Yes, sir. The Bible says, oh, no man, nothing but love. And the greatest the expression of love is forgiveness. So invariably saying, oh, no man, nothing but what? But forgiveness. So you must plan. You must plan on grand that you owe everybody forgiveness. You must carry it as a debt. That because God has forgiven me, I cannot hold anybody's trespass against the person. It must be, listen, when you carry this knowledge as a shield, you will now know that you can't get angry too much. Because you know you must forgive. So you know that your anger is a waste. You are controlling. You don't allow your anger go by itself. You see? If I'm too angry, it will be more difficult to forgive, and I must forgive. So it will reduce how you get angry. Are you getting my point now? You owe everybody forgiveness. You owe. You see, it's not a favor. You owe. It's a debt. You are a debtor to humanity. So you are wrong when you don't forgive. You are in the wrong side. You see, because there's nothing anybody can do to you that you have not done to the Lord. There's nothing anybody will do to you that you haven't done to Jesus Christ. Jesus has forgiven your worst. And he now says, go ahead and forgive others also. So I owe everybody forgiveness. So there is no sin anybody commits against me that has not been paid for. Yeah. Jesus has paid for it. He paid for the person's sin. He paid for my sin. Are you together with me? Yes, is that going to the restaurant, both of you ate, and Jesus paid for the two people. And you say it's because you are the one who introduced that person to the restaurant, the person must pay. No, I pay for him. I pay for you. Wow. If you can accept the one I pay for you, why you disagree with the one I pay for him? Wow. It's for free. They say, how many times shall I forgive somebody? He say, 7 times what? 70 in a day. In a day. Nobody can offend you that much in your lifetime. He's preparing you that forgive. You will forgive tire. Yes. Wow. So you better prepare yourself before there is a need for it. Yes, because you are where... Your last point in life. Are you together with me? Immediately you don't forgive, you can't progress. You are in that last place where you have not forgiven. You can't move forward with God. Because God says that he's going to forgive you as you forgive those who trespass against us. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
What did I say you owe people?
Forgiveness.
You owe them forgiveness. You owe them forgiveness. Yes, let me bring it. I'm not going to say more than forgiveness here. And you know, when you forgive people, you create godliness in them. You introduce God to them. Give me the parable when Jesus Christ was saying that he that is forgiving much, right together, loves much. Amen.
Amen.
The reason why God forgave you is so that you can forgive. Let's go back. There was a certain creditor. Who had that many debtors? Who had that many debtors? I can't hear you. Speak loud, please. Who had that many debtors? One owed what? What did the other owe? What did one owe? What did the other owe? And when they had what? So the 50 can say, I'm owing 50. But the question is, how much can you pay? This one says, I'm owing 500. How much can you pay? So how much of their debt have they cleared? So how many percent of their debt are they owing? 100. Whether it's 500 you are owing, whether it's 50, it's 100% debt. You completely owe. We all owe completely. Look at somebody and tell the person, I owe God. If I look at the person and say, we are owing. Lalo, have you paid? All of us are owing. Have you paid? He said, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Can you see the difference now? They owe 100%. But this is where the amount of forgiveness now matters. It's about what it will do in their hearts. So also, when you forgive someone who has offended you greatly, you will do a work in their heart. Let's read. Someone answered, I said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou art rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered thy house. Are you with me? Am I preaching here?
Yes.
Go, let's go to this woman. Go to the verses to this woman. Verses before. This is the last one I'm talking about. It's forgiveness. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Now, this sinner is, you get the point now. It's when people who are sinners call you sinner. You know they are sinners and they are sinners. You know there are people who are coming from their boyfriend's house. They spent 3 days in their boyfriend's house. As they are coming, they pass through Allen. They see the girls on the road. And they're like, Ira omo buruku ola omo yi. Man, look at young girls, wasting away. Now she spent 3 days in her. But she still acknowledges that, I'm not standing on the road. So that's it here. That's what's happening here. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. Now that's serious weeping. No? I've never seen this kind of weeping that can produce that level of water. But the Bible will not lie. Like she was crying, water was dropping, like rain. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that is that toucheth him. For what? She's a sinner. That's their perspective. Let's say our Lord. And Jesus answering, said unto Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. You see this Jesus Christ? May we have his heart. This thing is real. It's real. I told you one that happened to me. My old friend said she wanted to come and see me. My old friend. And then she's a Christian. And then I described the bus stop. She took a cab. I was in the studio. Took a cab to the bus stop. So I said, let me not stress her to come down. She might not know. I went to the bus stop to go and pick her to this NMPC. When I got there, I didn't drive. I walked. She wore a new kind of clothes that they are wearing, the new generation kind of clothes. It's a very short leggings like this. Very short leggings. I've never seen that kind of leggings. With a top that is, and big. The girl is big. Her body is big. So the challenge was, we have to have a friendly walk. She's my friend. So the talk will go, "How so happy to say that?" That's how it's meant to be. It's a friend. It's not like I will walk in front, you walk behind. We have to have a friendly walk from that place. You see, if she was not a friend, there's a way I can still do the walk. There's a way I would do my Facebook, people will know that, maybe he has gone to deliver somebody. You see? Because from that place, everybody knows that he's a man of God. On the road, everybody knows he's a man of God. So I had to be friendly, be just my friend. So we're walking. And she was excited to see me. So, how you doing? So I'm fine, I'm fine. Beating me, Papa. So, you see, before that day, I didn't know I was an hypocrite. It was a long walk. All those boys there. So, Pastor. Pastor. I said, hey, how's that? Hey, how's your friend? Tell us your friend. We took that long walk. Then I quickly called people to come and join me. Jesus is not like that. She did not cry on my leg. She did not kiss my feet. She did not put anything on my leg. I was still feeling that way. Jesus, a known sinner, was doing all of that. And they say, if he was a prophet, he will know. This one is not a sinner. This one is a child of God that doesn't have discipline. A certain creditor who had two debtors. So he was answering that question. He was answering the Pharisee. So it means that as Jesus was forgiving her, something was happening inside her heart. Jesus allowing that level of engagement is healing to her. He says, eventually that girl will love more than all of you. Her ability to love will be greater than all of you because she's aware that she was forgiven the most. No wonder it came to the tribe of a prostitute, Rahab. Because that is the order of what he's doing. Rahab could easily birth the Christ. Why? Because she can accommodate that level of love. Because she was a prostitute. And to make her part of divine lineage, that's the real deal. This is the reason why all of us have access into this faith. Because of forgiveness. Are you together with me? Who are you not to forgive another man? Who are you? Except for the fact that you've forgotten that you were forgiven. Are you with me, friends? God is calling us to greater levels of influence. These are some of the ways we walk in it. And I wrap it up today with forgiveness. Today, make a decision to forgive everyone. And not just to forgive everyone, make sure that you know that you owe. So when another matter happens, you are wondering, Father, help me. Don't let God be telling you forgive. Don't let God tell you that. That's bad. You must know before anybody offends you that I owe the person forgiveness. That's the way you retain the forgiveness that is over your life. Father, we thank you for your word. Make us a people of influence. Help us call people nobody wants to call. Help us send people nobody wants to send. And help us forgive people who have hurt us the most. Help us visit people nobody thinks deserving of visit. Help us to be like you. In Jesus' name I pray.